Us Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season one, episode 9 of Ted Lasso, and it's called All Apologies.
All Apologies. And of course, we're going to have all of our apologies up front when we make the apologies for Oh Yeah, We Curse. And Oh Yeah, we also like spoil things for the rest of the season, at least. Possibly for the next season, I don't know.
We're gonna go that far.
Yeah, no, and you know, we have been binge recording all day, so I'm on the same mimosa I was on for our last episode. It's just one of those things I drink rather slowly,
and I'm still drinking Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, so
it's a large Dr. Pepper, to be fair. So.
That's true. It is a large Dr. Pepper. You get points for that. And so we are just being pretty average today. But this, you know, these episodes leading up to the end, you know, we had a whole lot of turning point stuff in the last two episodes, and it's interesting to see the denouement, I guess, of this season for Ted Lasso. So it starts with Roy Kent. He's in an ice bath.
In a trash can.
Yeah, well, it looks like a trash can. It's basically like a wash tub, and it's an ice bath.
It's just funny. It looks like a recycling bin.
Right, because he's been injured, and they're trying to, you know, kind of...
It was a bad match.
Keep him functional. It was a bad match. He's had several, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so they talk about, I mean, that comes up. So SportsCenter is talking about how he's been having crappy matches and he's not doing well. And Ted comes in and Roy's like, it's just fucking embarrassing. And Ted basically tells him, you know, you got to move on. Mm-hmm. You've got to
be a goldfish.
Like, you're the team captain, and you know, you need to like get it together. Mm-hmm. And Roy's like, grr, you know, he's growling. But Ted leaves, and Danny comes in and gets on the treadmill and starts singing.
And then Roy just sinks into his ice bath.
Yes, like, oh God, please make it stop.
That's funny.
But then we go to Rebecca, who is doing a photo shoot, I guess, for the cover of some sports magazine.
Yeah,
like
so.
some like women in, you know, like
sports.
In sports, you know, like women CEOs or something. It's like on the business side. And she's kind of like, all right, this is kind of stupid, but whatever.
And Ted, like, gives her a little bit of a pep talk about her being a role model and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's some little girl, like, little kindergartner in an eggplant suit who just wants to be just like you. Because she's wearing an eggplant suit.
The owner of an AFC team?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, maybe.
It's possible you're a role model. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so it makes her feel better about it, but then she's still really bitter about Higgins leaving.
And she feels guilty about not telling Ted about the pictures.
And then she still doesn't.
But no. And so Keely approaches her in the hallway and is just like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? They go into the shoe room, which smells awful. And she's like, you need to tell Ted. She confronts her about not telling Ted about the pictures.
And while they're in that room, Nate comes in and makes some joke about, like, girls and shoes, and it's like, yeah, this is a little different. And it's like, not really the kind of thing that we think about with you all, and then he steps out. And Keely, you know, tells Rebecca, it's like, look, you know, because Rebecca's kind of acting like it wouldn't make any difference, and Keely's like, an apology would change my opinion of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, step up and, like, be a person. Mm-hmm. So then they go to a press conference, and Trent Crim, the Independent, is there.
Yeah.
And they talk about the young players are improving, but Roy Kent isn't.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, Roy's my captain, Roy's my guy, Roy's awesome.
He hypes him up.
He does. He does. And that's good, but...
They go back to their office, and
Nate and Beard want to talk to Trent, Ted.
And basically they're trying to take Roy out of the starting lineup for the next game because he's not really doing the team many favors, and so it would probably be best to bench him for now, and so that he can, because I don't know, they can tell that he's not going to get much better right now, and so to give him a little bit of time and put their best foot forward, especially against Manchester City, who they're going to be playing,
right?
And it's a very important game, and they need to make sure they win it or at least tie.
Well, it's like statistically, the chances of winning are like zero.
Yeah, and then Ted says no because Roy's their captain, And he trusts him.
Well, and it's also kind of like, how's that going to make Roy a better player?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this is going to be, you know, something where he suddenly snaps out of a funk. This isn't exactly...
That's not how it works.
How this is going to work with a leader. And Ted's just not having it. So Ted gets called to Rebecca's office.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Rebecca is going to, like, confess and whatever, and... She just can't do it. And
she's just procrastinating. She talks about procrastinating to procrastinate.
Right. And so, like, because she can't do it, she, like, basically tells Ted to, like, hit rewind or something. And so, like, he does this whole rewind thing out of her office.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every movement he does. I love that kind of, like, physical comedy because it's something I could never, ever do myself.
Mm.
And so when you see somebody, like, doing that in reverse, it's really kind of fun to watch.
And then Rupert tells Rebecca that him and Bex are having a baby. And she says, are you a character from the fucking Bible? You're 77 or something like that.
Yes. And it's, a, well, you know, I didn't, and like, he never wanted to have kids. Just, so this is super hurtful to her.
Not with her.
Right. And he's like, well, it's all about being with the right person. And Rebecca is just like in tears. And it is a brilliant performance because you can see like how many levels this has hurt her on. And it is really just amazing. So she, you can see her hardening up. Like, you know, she has to like steel herself. And it's like, okay, I need to come to terms with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she gets hard, and it's almost like you're not sure what she's going to do. Like, you know, she's going to get hard and then go, like, be bitchy to somebody. But what she does...
is she apologizes to Ted and tells him the truth.
Yeah.
And Ted forgives her, and she gives him a hug, and it's really sweet.
Yeah, it is really, really sweet.
She's also very surprised that this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, wow, this is just weird.
Yeah, and then... Ted realizes that Coach Beard is giving him the silent treatment because of what happened with Roy at practice, and Nate is walking like towards them, but then Ted's trying to talk to Nate, and Nate runs away because he doesn't like playing hard to get and all that stuff. So
he's just
like,
not good at it. Yeah. Roy is slow, and what they're doing is a speed drill. And so, as part of practice, and he's, like, not able to keep him. He keeps saying, fuck, fuck, and he keeps saying it over and over, and then he falls. And, then we cut to Rebecca apologizing to Higgins.
Well, she visits Higgins, and he has a Van Dyke and playing the cello.
No, he's playing an upright bass. It's, like, jazz on an upright bass. Like, he's, like, this cool, like, jazz club dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
while they're doing that, they're... going back and forth between that and Ted talking to Roy about not starting.
In the stands,
And Roy gets really fucking mad. And
He's like, you're putting me on the bench? You're benching me? Go fuck yourself. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like, I can see it. It's like he wants to have some control over his destiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut back to Rebecca, you're talking about Higgins' beard. He's like, it's a Van Dyke.
And does your wife love that? And she's like, no, she hates it.
She hates it, yeah. And she, Rebecca is like, I really need you back.
Yeah.
I mean,
she feels bad.
Yeah.
About the stuff that she said. And she does kind of admit that he was right.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's on, and she says, like, I'm on the road back. I'm trying, you're right, I've been going down the wrong path. But I'm trying to get back to where I should be as a human kind of thing. And so it cuts to then Keely and Roy with his niece.
I love that his niece is just at Keely's house and Keely's looking after her. And Keely tries to cheer up Roy, but he's kind of like still a bit apprehensive and he doesn't want to really talk about it. And then she has his niece and come up and... she's just like, okay, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to describe your Uncle Roy. Can you do that? And she's like, okay. And she's like, well, he curses a lot. He's really tall.
He's very funny.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
He's nice. I love him.
Yeah.
And it's so... He's really talented, and I love him. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's adorable.
Yeah, but one of the things, a big part of Keely's point, as Roy's like, I can't be on the bench. There's the way this sequence is done is really, really cute. So, like, They're trying to, you know, act like semi-responsible adults, and they're telling her, like, no, you know, she's not supposed to have electronics. And Keely's like, I hope she doesn't find my vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Keely, like, gets Roy on her couch and gives him a big fluffy pink pillow, and she's like, so tell me all about it. He's like, I can't be on the bench. I can't. You know, my whole identity has been this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been anything but a footballer. And she's like, well, let's see.
What else you are.
Yeah, let's see... If Joe Blow on the street even knows that about you.
Yeah.
Right? And so when his niece is kind of... She doesn't even say he's talented. She doesn't.
She doesn't say
anything about him professionally. It's just him as a person.
Yeah.
And that she loves him. Mm-hmm. And...
It looks like he's about to cry. It's really sweet.
Yeah, it is really, really sweet. Because, you know, he needs to know that there's more to him. And again, this is one of those things I identify with, because being fairly recently re-retired... It is hard to give up...
Who you are.
Something you've been proud of, something you've done well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really very hard to let that go. And so I really empathize with him. But he really believes that the game is all he is. And I can see, you know, when you've put that much of yourself in it, and it's physical and it's visceral, it's like, you know, just part of your DNA, it's really very hard for him to give up. And so... Then they go to Coach Beard and Ted in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so cute. So Ted comes in, and Beard is, like, watching his old girlfriend playing chess, also in the pub. And Ted comes in, and he's trying to, like, you know, humor Coach Beard. And, oh, you're, like, chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And he's like, I don't really identify with that, whatever. And finally, Coach Beard just kind of like throws snaps. Down his chair and snaps. And he tells Ted, look, you know.
You're putting the team in jeopardy by letting Roy start. And you need to listen, and you need to stop trying to just spare Roy's feelings. Because even though Roy's feelings do matter, it also, I don't think Roy would want the team to fail because of him. And so...
But he says it's Ted's being selfish.
Yes. And then he is walking away, and then he goes up to the chess girl, and she's just like, you want to get out of here or something? She's really, like, attracted to
this
it.
This is the sexiest thing I've ever seen.
And, then, and he's just like, she was just playing you. There's a clear checkmate right here. All right, let's go. And so they leave.
Right, and the bartender is, like, you know, cheering him on, too. And just they're all kind of like, look, you just need to cut the cord kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Roy,
Ted gets drunk.
Yeah, Ted gets drunk.
And he's about to walk in the middle of the street, and Roy stops him.
From being run over, exactly.
Yeah. And then
Roy apologizes to him.
Yeah, and Roy and Ted have a heart-to-heart Ted's apartment.
And Ted's, like, eating peanut butter.
Yeah, he's eating peanut butter.
Which, of course, is also a me thing. I just love that. He makes these references again. This is a my age thing. Like Ted talks about seeing Billy Joel live in concert. He's like eating ice cream. It's amazing. It's like, and then Ted does this Fresh Prince dance that is hilarious.
I've never watched it. So.
I never really watched it either, but I know that there was Will Smith and Sidekick Guy.
I know Will Smith's in it.
I guess Sidekick Guy, one of his signature moves is this dance that Ted does. It's like, you know, you don't even know who that guy is, but you know that dance because whatever. And he does dance. And Roy's like looking at him like, what the hell is wrong with you?
He does mention Fresh Prince and just starts dancing, so I assumed it was from that.
I didn't
really know the reference, but...
Roy's like, you know, I could say I'm injured and I can't play, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'll think on it. But, you know, because I just don't know what to make of myself. Because, you know, if I went to the U.S., I would just dominate in the U.S.
Yeah.
And they talk about, I don't know how it comes back to tea, but it's like, Ted says, I don't love tea. It's basically pigeon sweat.
And Roy's like, I like tea. And then he's like, no, you don't.
No, that's bullshit. So they come in the next day, and Higgins is back.
Yeah.
And he's shaved.
He has. And Ted is bringing like Rebecca her biscuits, and it's just like, oh, Higgins, you're back. And it's like, oh, I also made you some biscuits. And it's just like, you didn't make these for me, did you? And it's just like, no, I made it for Krim's daughter, who just turned 3 today. And that's really sweet when you think about it. And then he's just like, oh no, I'm just kidding. And then he leaves, and then he opens the box, and it's like, oh, these are definitely for the 3-year-old.
Yeah, they're like weird shapes or something.
They're like pink and all sparkly and stuff.
Yeah, it's cute.
And then
they go downstairs.
And they're in the locker room, and Roy comes in a little bit late.
But they don't know he's going to come in late. So Nate and Beard are both like, hey, you got rid of Roy, or you talked to Roy, or whatever. But he comes in late, I love this. He's like, yeah, Phoebe found Keely's vibrator, and we had to go get her ears pierced to distract her.
To erase the memory.
Yeah, and that's basically the episode. But, you know, it's basically all of this is build up for this last match of the season, which is against Man City, and it's going to involve Jamie. And so we are rolling up on the end of Ted Lasso Season 1. So what was your best part of this episode?
I really love Keely's pep talk to Roy, especially with Phoebe. And I said Rebecca, but I like that Rebecca apologizes to everybody, especially to Higgins. And Ted, we all knew how Ted was going to react, but I'm glad she talked to Higgins about stuff. And I really like how Ted, well, I actually really like how Coach Beard stood up to Ted and be like, hey, listen, I understand that you want to spare people's feelings, but how would they feel if they lose the game? You know how he reacted to losing the game before. How do you think he's going to feel when he does it again? And I think that kind of puts stuff into perspective for Ted, and I think that him making his talk with Roy is really, really works. And yeah, what about you?
My favorite part, I think, is going to be the acting job by Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole transformation in that short 2-minute like period of, you know, here's Rupert sticking it to her again on like the most basic emotional level. And you know, she goes through the sadness and the depression and but then she, like, just girds her loins and is like, all right, I'm going to be a better person than this fucking asshole. And so she gets her shit together and she does it. And I love that. And I think we see more of that transformation of her. I think Beard, you know, is always kind of a one note to me. He's great and I love him. But he doesn't have any kind of transformation as a character based on what I've seen.
No, so, but I think that it's nice that he actually stands up for himself.
Oh, I agree. And that's a good thing.
I think that's enough of a transformation for me to notice.
Yeah. But I feel like Rebecca's is, you know, it's a more explored, let's put it that way. But it's also really well done from an acting perspective for her. So that's my best part. What's your worst part?
Well, Rupert. But I think that another thing is that I don't, and this is a part of, like, actual, like, a criticism that I have. It's, I understand why it's like this, but I hate how repetitive Rupert's storylines are, especially in, like, relation to Rebecca, because they all are, but I don't really like how Rupert's just constantly, like, one-upping stuff, like, each episode, and I really just don't like his whole thing of like, oh, I'm going to one-up and I'm going to make Rebecca's life a living hell by like just doing something that I didn't want to do with her, but I'm going to do with somebody else who's younger and hotter and whatever, according to him, even though she's hot. And it's just kind of like, I don't like how repetitive he is. I think his arguments with Rebecca are very one-note, and I'm glad she's finally had this like trigger of like, okay, I'm going to need to change something. And so it did trigger a transformation for her, but I think that throughout this season it was very one note for them, and I wish their arguments were a little bit more, have a little bit more substance to them, because she has talked to other people about how Rupert treated her and how like awful it was, but she never really, other than at the gala, she didn't really have any moments where she's like really stood up for herself to Rupert about like
directly
how he treated her during their marriage, not just with the affairs, but like how he actually treated her and how she's worth much more than that. She never really had that moment, and I think that at this point in the series, or at least this season, I think she should have by now. And I think that the repetitiveness of him like, oh, I'm doing this to piss Rebecca off and all that stuff, and her reaction to it, at least it's different for this one, but for the other ones it was all very similar reactions to it, and I don't know. I just feel like at this point in her arc, she should have had that kind of moment with Rupert and not just, like, about Rupert, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think real life is not like that.
I
know what you mean.
It isn't, but, like, with Rebecca's character, like, it is more realistic for it to be like this to a certain extent, but I think that with her...
It's almost like domestic violence, basically. It is that kind of mental, emotional control that she has allowed him to have. And it is not an easy thing for her to break. It's not an easy pattern for her to break. And I think it's really kind of great to see that.
Barely there criticism that I have. It's just, it kind of annoys me personally because I don't like seeing that. Much like what you said about the breakup. Like, I hate watching breakups, especially television. I really hate watching them. But, like, this is a little more painful for me to watch because she's such a badass, like, all the other times. But then she lets this one guy get to her like that, and it really does.
It's her Achilles heel, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Hercules.
Achilles heel is what I said.
You said Hercules.
I did not. And
her Achilles heel. That's what you said. Sorry. You said it so quickly.
Sorry. But yeah, it is her Achilles heel. And so she is... I get it because, I've seen a lot of people go through those kinds of things. And, it is hard to watch, certainly from the outside, but you can't do it for them.
So, exactly. So, that's why it's a worst part for me. I don't like watching it at all.
Right. So, worst part for me from this episode, I would probably... I'm not sure that I have a worst part. There were things that I'm just kind of... just kind of ready for the season to come to an end kind of thing. You get to a point where it's like, okay, we kind of know where this is going. I'm glad that they are winding things up, and it does take a little bit of time. I felt like, like even the sides with Higgins were pretty funny. It's like, they are winding it up, but I felt like we might have been able to do it maybe faster. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a bit unfair. But I do like the asides that they do, like the pink fluffy pillows and the electronics, and the chess girl coming back, and those kinds of things. I like that they are kind of winding all of those things up. But I do feel like the plot points were kind of missing from this episode a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so overall, I would give this probably like a BB plus, something like that.
I gave it a B. I mean, there's not really too much to this episode. There are some cute, funny moments, like, are you a character from the fucking Bible? The whole thing with Phoebe and all that stuff. There are plenty of good things in this episode, like much with the other episodes, but I think that there are certainly fewer things that really set it apart.
Yeah.
And so, I give it a B.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So anyway, we are looking forward to the last episode in season one, which is called The Hope That Kills You, which I love, love, love that as a title.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole hope element is a theme throughout this, and I hope we talk about that in this last episode. But I'm looking forward to doing the last episode of season one of Ted Lasso, and we hope that you join us.
And cheers.